you know, recognizing that we're up against an increasing dark world. There's a level of deception that just seems to be now accepted as truth, that, you know, there's really nothing you can do about this life. You just kind of live it for yourself, get the most out of it as you can, and then, you know, hopefully there's something that comes next, and if not, you know, whatever. It's just this whatever thing going on, and it just breaks my heart. And I see people that have lost maybe some of their fight to just keep things. And I know that in praise, we spoke about praise on Sunday, and I really thought about just extending that message, but I think I'm going to bring a little more of it this coming Sunday, because I know that the Lord has not left us here defenseless. He hasn't just left us here without any abilities of our faith to connect with what he can do. He hasn't just left us here to fill time and to finish out the prophetic scriptures that said it's got to take this long, and so here we are until that time is up. I don't believe that at all. I believe this is far more than just a fatalistic kingdom that we're a part of, where everything's preset and preordered, and it's just going to run its course however it may. I know that from God's viewpoint outside of time, he knows the beginning from the end, but I also know that he's placed us here to do a work. That there's a reason why we're here. There's a reason why we're all interested in being in a church building on a Wednesday evening and hearing whatever it is that the Lord wants to say and worshiping and just being together. And, you know, it's tough. The past Sunday was the first Sunday I think I've missed one of the services because someone just needed prayer at the hospital, urgent prayer at the hospital. And I don't understand it. I don't understand why sometimes it just seems like the people close to you just get whacked and are fighting things. And I just see there's a light that comes in those places when people are going through stuff that's beyond what they can handle. There's this strength that seems to come in. There's this ability of the Holy Spirit to bring them through what they're going through. And it defies my understanding. I don't understand how I can watch someone with tears in their eyes because they're in so much pain just praise Jesus and say, he's so faithful, he's so good, I feel his comfort, I feel his love like never before. Meanwhile, they've got tears in their eyes because they're in so much pain, and you just want to see that removed. And I don't understand it all, and I don't have all the answers for everything that we see in life, but I just know that there's a reassurance that's deeper and deeper in my spirit that I know the one to whom I will go and to whom they will go if they know him when this life is over. And if that's all the hope that I have for this life, then that's going to have to be enough for me. And I'm going to continue to contend for whatever else he wants to do through our lives. I want to believe that we can see the miracles that we know are promised to us in Scripture as believers, greater things than what Jesus do, will we do. And yet when we pray and we go for it, and we put our faith out there and we don't see it, we still have to maintain that praise. We have that weapon that he gave us to continue to shed off those thoughts of doubt, because ultimately the devil is not after our lives, he's after our faith. Jesus said, do not worry about the ones who can come and take your physical life. Worry about the one who, after this life is over, has the authority about which place you go for eternity. Jesus himself said that with the most powerful miracle worker that's ever been on planet Earth. He says, don't get excited about the stuff that just helps you live a little longer. Get excited about the fact that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that after this life, there's a promised existence outside of time and space where we will be with him forever. And it's just the more I see of the darkness, the more I choose to celebrate. Don't ignore the darkness. We continue to speak against it. We continue to know that it's a defeated enemy, that Jesus at the cross defeated all enemies, death and the grave specifically. He took the keys of those entities, but we also know that Lazarus, the one he raised from the dead, ultimately died. We know that the great apostle Paul ultimately passed away. The man of great faith who wrote most of our New Testament, death is still a part of this human experience on planet Earth, but yet by faith we lay hold of an existence in our spirit man that goes outside of time, outside of this what we call reality, into true reality. And so I just as I find scriptures that speak to that issue, I draw a lot of strength from them these days. Because I'm putting my arms around people, maybe just because it's not just because I'm getting older, because I said that to the two pastor friends, and I'm like, no, it isn't that. It's happening to young people, to old people. There's just a whole lot of sickness and things that just seem to be pressing in against even believers, and not just in the church, but just in the world in general. Sickness is like at an all-time, it's epidemic. You know, they can't put medical facilities up quickly enough. It's just amazing to me that this time now that we can shine like never before, not because it's never been a good time, but because the need is just so great. I mean, you light a candle in a dark room, it's amazing how much that candle gives light when it's really dark in that room. And nobody complains that it's not bright enough. You're just really thankful for that candle because you can at least see something. And I just pray that God would be way more than just a candle in our hearts, that there would be a hunger that we all have, that we can rise up and shine and be revealed as the sons, that the Bible says creation itself longs for the unveiling, for the revealing of the sons of God, because we do carry his presence. We do carry his spirit. We have his life alive on the inside of us, and it's our job to continue to trust him, to build our faith and to grow our faith. And the way to do that for me is through Scripture. I love worship. I love those times in the atmospheres, but they don't stick with me like a word from Scripture does when I'm going through a few hospital visits or a few unexplained situations, even in my own family. It doesn't matter where it is. When you just know you need God to move and you don't see him moving yet, we've got to maintain our praise throughout. We've got to maintain our faith throughout, because the devil's not just after our lives, he's after our faith. Because he wants to have a say over us once we pass from this life. And God's saying, no way. Once this one's over, I'm wiping the tears away. I'm taking away every bit of pain and every bit of suffering. And I'm going to be with you forever. And that's what he wants. And that's what he knows he paid for. And that's what he wants us to stay and to keep our faith attached to. And so it's important that we find some of these scriptures. And I just want to, very briefly, within probably 10 minutes, just be able to say that my son, Jordan, often the Lord speaks to me through my kids, you know that. And someone was just talking to him, and they say, hey, Jordan, how are you? And it was someone he's just getting to know over the past few months. And he just looked at them, and he's like, how do you know my name? You know, just like a four-year-old, how do you know my name? And this person said, well, I met you about 3 months ago, and you told me your name was Jordan, so that's how I know your name. And he's like, he didn't remember telling like 3 months and a four-year-old. That's like, I don't know how you convert that to child years, but that's like a decade, you know. 3 months is like a decade in four-year-old memory. And so he just wasn't concerned, but she's like, no, I met you and you told me your name. And so then he warmed up to that. He's like, oh, okay, it's okay that this person knows my name. But it just caught my attention, because Jesus talks a lot about kids and how we have to adapt our complex way of thinking and our intellect and everything that we tend to come up with that's infected with the wisdom of this world, and just become like children and just address life from a very simple perspective. And so here's my son asking this person, how do you know my name? And he's saying, well, I met you, and you told me your name. And I began to think about that. You know, there's only a couple ways that we can actually meet somebody, if you think about it. Now there's social media, there's other ways, there's ways that we connect with people outside and beyond that. But before all that, there was only a couple ways you could meet somebody. First of all, you could meet someone by just bumping into somebody personally on your own, like apparently Jordan did with this person. They met, exchanged names. He forgot hers apparently, or just knew it, and from hearing it from someone else. But there was just this, they met personally. There was a personal encounter. Names were exchanged. That's one way that you can get to know someone's name. You can get to know who they are and what to call them. The other way is that you can have a friend who introduces you to that person. You can have a friend who comes along and says, hey, I want you to meet so-and-so. And in that, there's like this intermediary thing, but still, ultimately, it becomes a face-to-face meeting. And then there's this other category, as I began to think about this interesting little conversation that the Lord, I felt, just drew my attention to. You know, we can hear about somebody from someone else, and we can hear a whole lot about them. They can tell us so much about them. I don't know if you've had the experience, but do you ever meet somebody, and maybe it was a boyfriend or girlfriend there at a distance, and so this close friend of yours is telling you so much about them. They know all their life story. They've got all, and you meet them finally face to face for yourself. And I've heard this said many times. I've probably said it myself. I feel like I already know you. Did you ever have that happen? I feel like I already know you because I've heard so much about you from this other person. I feel like I already know who you are. I already know so much about you that there's been this introductory thing, and you finally met. But I think in our spiritual life, there's this category that I felt the Lord wanted me to just speak to, that of people who feel like they've heard so much about the Lord. They've heard so many people talk such great things about him, but they've never actually met him. They've never gone to their knees. They've never gone to that place of personal connection, personal surrender, personal, I need to know you, Master. I need to know you as my Lord. I need to know you as my Savior. I need to know your name, not because I've heard about your name from someone else, even if it's been from reading the Bible. You can read a whole lot about the author of a book and not actually meet the author. Is that true for a book that, you know, God's the Spirit? We understand that he can jump off the page, and sometimes there's this spiritual connection that happens through studying Scripture. But just because you've memorized the Bible, the Pharisees of Jesus' day had the Bible, the Sadducees especially, and many of the scribes memorized. They had memorized the entire thing. They knew it word for word. They knew where the periods and the commas and the spaces and where the demarcations were from the different authors. They had it memorized. They could recite it. Paul was one of those people. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You can know the author's work and have it memorized and have never met the author. And what happened when he was on the road to Damascus to persecute the church of Jesus Christ? All of the sudden, what happened? He met Jesus. You remember the story how he was riding on his horse and the bright light came out of heaven and knocked him to the ground so bright that his eyes weren't even working in the time-space realm that we have. He saw the light and it was so bright that it took his vision away from him to the degree where it looked like he had scales left on his eyes from this encounter. And the other people around him heard the voice, but they didn't see the light, but they heard this voice from heaven talking to Saul at the time, who was on this way. Suddenly, he met the person whose book he had memorized, but had never met the person. You see what I'm saying? There's a way that we can hear so much about God through, especially through Christian radio, Christian CDs, Christian authors. We can study and learn so much about the one who gave everything for us. But if we're not careful, we can come to a place where when it's really painful and it's really struggling and you're waiting for the EMTs to get there and you're just on the floor and you realize, I'm calling on a name that I don't fully know yet, but I need to know him at a deeper level. I need to find out who he really is in this second because I don't know if I have another second to go. You know, and it doesn't always have to happen that way. For Saul, God sought to reveal himself just as he's on his way to murder some people that he loved. And he stopped him and knocked him off his horse. But it's amazing, the very first words out of Saul's mouth at that time, the Apostle Paul's mouth, was, "Who are you, Lord?" He met the person, and the very next thing he wanted to know is, "I know you're my Lord. I know that whoever you are, you have the power that I'm going to serve for the rest of my life because the book that I've been following and the descriptions of what I do based on the law that was written by you has gotten me to this point, and it's obviously not the right place because I'm in a whole lot of trouble right now," and he's trembling as he hears this voice from heaven speak to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" You don't want a voice out in the middle of the parking lot knock you on the ground and say, "Why are you harassing me?" You're going to do whatever you need to do to make sure you're on that guy's side. You're going to say, "You're my Lord, don't need to debate this, but I just want to know who you are." And that's what he says. He says, "Who are you, Lord? I want to meet you. I want to find out what your name is." And he says, "I'm Jesus, the one that you're persecuting." You know, he's persecuting Christians, and Jesus says, "It's me that you're against. You're killing me. You're attacking me by attacking these people." And he revealed who he truly was. And I don't know why we all don't get those Damascus Road experiences. I wish we all could because, I mean, can you imagine evangelizing and going into cities and places with that kind of an encounter with the Lord? Like, there's no, I mean, you're not going to be talked out of what happened because he had to go get prayer for his eyesight to come back. There was miracles that followed that. And then he was empowered with a supernatural ability to just do amazing supernatural things for the kingdom and to write and to record history and to be able to write it in a way. But when we look at what he did, the first thing he needed to know about this person that he had just met was who he was. And I just think that the Lord's trying to encourage my heart. I know that he's encouraging my heart. And maybe there's some people out there where you just felt, you feel like a little bit distant. You feel like, yeah, I know the name. I know the songs about the name. I know the scriptures about the name. I've memorized some of the stuff about the name. But I'm more and more hungry in my heart of hearts, in my spirit. I want to meet this person, not just a one-off like Saul or Paul. I want to meet him on a daily basis. I want to find him when I'm looking at the stars at night. I want to find him when I'm eating my breakfast and my child comes up next to me and wants to talk to me and ask me a question about something that he doesn't understand. I want to find him in the moments. I want to find, what is he trying to say? How is he trying to connect me? Because we know one thing, the Creator is at work trying to reconcile us back to the Father. The Holy Spirit is desiring to make the work of Jesus Christ of maximum effectiveness. And what was it other than to reconcile us back to the Father? And so I'm just going to read through Philippians chapter 3. This is a passage that's written by the Apostle Paul. It's written obviously after he had his encounter with the Lord and he found out who Jesus really was and what he was really supposed to be doing with his life. And this is just, we'll just read from verse 7 to 16 and then we'll just wrap up. "But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." He was so thankful to finally know who he was really supposed to be following. Can you imagine? This guy was was breaking families apart. He was there when they stoned Stephen, who was one of the early church deacons who was set to serve the food. He got to see the families grieve over the son, the uncle, the child, whoever Stephen was. Maybe he had kids and a wife. We don't know. But I'm just telling you, he was zealous to fight for the author of the book like no one probably else was at that time. And yet when he finally met him, he realized that there was something so amazing to actually know, who am I serving? Who is the person that I've given my life to? And he says, all the stuff that's lost, it's all meaningless. It's all lost for the excellence, this is the highest thing he could have ever had, the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. For the fact that when he said, who are you, Lord? Jesus said, you go figure it out. No, he says, it's me, Jesus, the one that you're persecuting. That Jesus is always desiring to reveal who he really is. We don't have to try to go and find him on some mountaintop. He's desiring to reveal who he is. He's not trying to be mystical. He just wants to know, do we really want to know who he is? Do we really want to sell out and live a life that's based around this concept of, I need to know who he is? He says, once I have this knowledge of Jesus, not talking about head knowledge, he's like, I know who the guy is now. I met him. I've given my life for him, and he's filled me with his spirit. And he says that the excellence is what he traded, all that stuff that he knew, all his knowledge was traded for the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish. He's not pulling any punch. He's just saying, I lost everything. I gave it all up. Can you imagine at that level of rank in the Pharisees, the way he was treated when he says, sorry, guys, we're after the wrong people. Can you imagine? You talk about being excommunicated. You talk about being ostracized, being rejected by your friends and your closest associates. Yeah, he endured that. He said, all that stuff was rubbish compared to this knowledge. And he said, I gave it all up so that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which came from the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. This is unbelievable. That I may know him. The righteousness that comes by faith comes through knowing the person. Not about the person. Not where to find the person if you really hit a bind. But knowing him. That I may know him. It's all rubbish. Just that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. See, many people jump to the second part. They want to know the power of his resurrection. They want their cancer to go away. They want their family member to get saved. They want something. They want to see the power of the resurrected Christ, but they're not willing to first just be amazed and stunned to know him. And to know that he's the way, the truth, and the life. That's the gospel, that Jesus is the way. That there was no other way until Jesus came and did what he did. That's the miracle of the gospel, and that's where the ultimate value is. But many people, they want to see the power of the resurrection. But Paul's saying, just to know him and the power. There's nothing wrong with the power. We desire the power as well. But the point is that we need to know him, because the power without knowing him, we have scriptures that tell us what happens to people that exercised all the power that Christ provides by his spirit but never knew him personally. He says, get away from me. Why? I never knew you. It's all supposed to be out knowing him personally, having a relationship with him that grows day by day. Then it says the fellowship, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know, we talk about heaven like, yeah, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. Paul's saying, I press on. He said, just if by any means I may also attain to the resurrection from the dead. This idea that when we die, we rise up and we go to be with him in heaven, that's like the pinnacle of all things that could ever happen to a human being. It's the highest thing that can ever happen, that when you breathe your last, when something tragic or sudden happens to you or someone you love, that they're going to go to be with him forever. There is no higher thing that you can find. There's no higher blessing or benefit that that person could have ever found on this lonely little planet flying through space. Nothing can compare with the fact that this resurrection from the dead is something that we pursue, that we have our focus on, that we're going after. And it says that, not that I've already attained. He hadn't died yet. He hadn't been raised back up to his new life yet in his physical body. His body hadn't been buried or burned or whatever yet. He said, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I do press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Jesus Christ laid hold of you so that he could bring you to be with him forever. everything else that's happening here on earth, everything else that we fight and struggle to understand, the stuff that distracts us and causes us pain, this is not the point. The point is that he came and he took people who were hellbound and he brought us the promise that if we would trust and believe in him, we could go to heaven. This is supposed to be the focus of our lives. Instead, it's something that we kind of give a cordial passing mention to at funerals, kind of like quietly, like, you know, we celebrate it or whatever, but it's just sort of a something we endure and get through. And we use it as hope to try to not be too depressed while we're still here left behind. Meanwhile, it's supposed to invigorate us to the degree where we lay everything else down just to know, just to strive towards, just to make the most of the time we have because we have this promise that's in front of us. He said, I press on that I may lay hold. Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have already apprehended, but one thing I do. I forget the things which are behind. I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's calling us upward. It's an upward call because he's calling us to the place where he is. That's the call that gets us through when our prayers don't seem to take effect the way that they're supposed to. That's the call that's deep to our spirit that reminds us, this is where you're going, guys. When it all doesn't work the way that you thought it would, we're going upward. We're going up. We're not going down like we were born into. We're going upward, and that's enough right there. He says, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if you in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. This phrase I want to just close with is this phrase, degree that we have already attained. This is a journey. This is a walk of faith. The just shall live by faith. It's ongoing. It's not just tonight. It's tomorrow morning. It's not just tonight. It's on the way home in the car. It's not just now. It's when you're tempted at the grocery. It's constant. This walk of faith is a continuum. It's a thread. It's a string. It's a journey. It's a path. It's not just moments in time. It's a continuum of time. It's a connection of heart and soul that brings us to a place where we constantly hear this upward call, this sense that whatever is going on here is not the point. The point is where we're going. We were just going to the beach a couple days ago. Was it yesterday? Wow. PTSD, you lose time in those events. We're going under an overpass and, you know, ripped both rooftop air conditioners right off of our RV. The kids are all in there. It sounded like explosions going off as we're going under this train bridge and, you know, right in the middle of the city. We didn't think anything of it. There's no big flashing lights or anything. I'm like, man, that looks low. Boom, boom. It was like that fast. It was like before you even, I looked down, I'm like, that looks low. Boom, boom. And it was just, you know, freon and gas and everything flew off behind us. We had someone following us. And, you know, but I didn't think about this till afterwards, but we pulled into a parking lot. You know, they came and cleaned up the road. My son Noah jumped out with his socks on and he's kicking air conditioner parts off the street. So it was a busy intersection. It's like the city. It's just north of the city in northern Jersey and right by the coast. And you know how busy those areas are. And so we're just trying to get out of the way and get into a parking lot. And the whole time, you know, I'm still thinking of the beach, though. I'm still thinking, like, you know, there's a rainstorm coming in. We have a dog food bag, so we duct taped that down over the gaping holes because you look from inside and look up and you see the sky. And it's like, you know, but we're going to the beach with, like, all my kids and the families with us following us. And we're going to spend the day at the beach. And so we got to the beach for, like, 5 or 6 hours, and we had an awesome day. It was, like, the only thing I kept remembering is watching the clouds thinking, man, if this thing rains, you know, the insurance company is really going to be up the creek when they have to total this thing instead of just replace two rooftop air conditioners. But and it never happened. It didn't rain. We dodged that and got around it. But there's just something that can carry you through stuff when you just have something in front of you. And what God's trying to get us to see is that whatever we're going through, man, when the beach is in front of you, when heaven's in front of us, when the idea of being reunited with folks that have gone ahead before us in faith to be in the place to be with the Lord forever, the Bible's full of the promises that this isn't just some fairy tale. This isn't just something that we all hope happens. This is the reality that we don't see because it's in the realm above us. It's in the spirit realm. But by faith, we can tap into it. We can draw from it now. This hope we have is an anchor that goes beyond the veil of death. It's more than just an idealism. It's a real string. It's a real cord. It's a real rope. And in times of stress, we pull on that and we realize that there's something in front of us that we can get excited about. We might go through some stuff. There might be freon running down the back of your RV, and it's just embarrassing, you know. I mean, we've driven to California, been through all the parks, been all over this country, and leave it to New Jersey to not know how to build a train bridge the right height. I mean, there was a box truck behind me, taller than me. He saw what happened. He did a K-turn, and he was up the road. I wish he was in front of me, actually. It would have been. I just thought of that. No, that would have been handy. So we got to, hey, maybe he was carrying something valuable and something bad would have happened to him. Who knows what all is going on. But, you know, God's at work. I pray that in worship you can feel his presence. I pray that in your prayer time you can feel his presence. But my prayer often is that there's a greater hunger for the word in all of us. But more than that, I pray that if there's anybody tonight that you're just struggling with, do I really know him? Have I really carved out a time? Maybe just take a drive, go someplace for a day or however long it takes you to just tune everything out. Say, I need to, you may not have Damascus Road. You may not have Upper Room where fire is on your head and you're speaking in unknown languages and all that stuff. But just a place that's deep in the spiritual part of you where you can say, you know what? I met Jesus that night. I met Jesus that morning. I met Jesus in the middle of that night when I didn't know where else to turn. And I just know that he came. I felt the warmth. I felt this because I'm telling you, you don't have to feel anything to know that the promises of Scripture are true. But it's sure nice when there's something in your body, in your, whether it's goosebumps or whether it's whatever, with no music and with no nothing, just you and the one who made you, the one who wants to reveal himself to you, the one that's not ashamed of you, the one that's not trying to not look at the stuff that you're doing because he's so intimidated by it. He loves you. When we were his enemies, he died for us. He wasn't waiting for us to do good things to come. While we were still angry with him, while Saul was killing the people that he had birthed again and given new life to, he didn't stop the stones from hitting Stephen. He went through all of that. And then Paul had to look back and see the stuff that he had done in error and still live the rest of his life with those realities because he had given himself to the wrong God that he thought he knew, but he didn't really know him yet. And I wonder if there's some things in our life that would just change if we could just know him in the next level that he wants us to know him in. Relationships grow, right? They grow apart, but they're supposed to grow together, right? Many times we're so burnt by the ones that grow apart that hurts, but relationships are supposed to grow together. And wherever we are, that phrase, to the level that we have attained, let's just recognize that wherever that level is, there's a continuum there. It's okay for us to be hungry for the next part of himself that he wants to reveal to us. It's all right to say, Lord, I know that I know you, but I want to know you at another level. I want to go to the next degree that Paul talked about. Because whichever level we're in, it says that we're to praise him, we're to give thanks, and we're to be so grateful that we've even been able to see him enough to come to a place that preaches the gospel, that worships him and the freedom that we have here. There's still such a gift that even is to your heart. But what if there's more? And what if we don't go for that we get stale and we eventually do get cold? What if it's the growth and the movement of that relationship that actually keeps us fresh? My encouragement tonight is let's all just agree together. Let's just stand together, but let's just agree as we just finish in this time of song, just 10 minutes or so, that we just allow the Holy Spirit to draw us closer. The Bible says that no one comes to the Father unless he's drawn by the Spirit. The Son makes the way through his sacrifice, and the Spirit draws us. And so as he just begins to draw people, I pray that you'd have an open heart, that the doors of your heart would be open. You just allow him to speak to you in the deepest place of your heart. Father, we thank you that you're here with us. I thank you that you have promised that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you're already there. We don't have to read scriptures or sing songs. You're here with us, and you desire that we would know you the way that we are known by you. And so, Lord, we just pray for your Spirit to open our eyes, to help us to see that you're not afar off, that you're right there, that you are near. You're not a distant God, but you're one who desires to even live on the inside of us. And Father, for those of us who have invited you in, we've asked you to just fill us with your Spirit and your power and your presence, that Lord, there can still be a refreshing, there can still be a fresh outpouring, there can still be a refilling and a refreshing of everything that you are inside of us. So Jesus, right now, we just come into this place of just being in this worshipful atmosphere, knowing that you're working on hearts. If there's any doubt in our hearts, Lord, would you just deal with that doubt? Lord, we ask you for help with our unbelief in the way that the father of that child said, would you just help me with my unbelief? Lord, I believe, but please help the place of my heart that still has doubt in it. And we know that you're able to do that. So God, we just thank you for sealing the words that were spoken tonight. They're your words. They're from your servant, Paul. We thank you, Lord, for just beginning to, just continuing to cause us to look for new beginnings. Help us to look for new beginnings. Help us to crave for a fresh start. Help us to not be intimidated by that idea, but to look forward to it, to look for new and fresh. God, we thank you for what you've done. You've been so faithful to us, and we just give you praise tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you're here with us. That you're here with us. Let's just confess that together, Father. We thank you. You're here with us. In your own words, he's here with us. He's here with us. Jesus, thank you that you're here. Thank you that you're here. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you, Jesus.